Then our study is going to be number 64, by the way, and today's date is the 14th day of October 2020. And we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we'll start our study tonight. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come this way this day, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the pleasure of calling upon your holy name. And Father, we thank you so much for the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and now the understanding of pretty much what all it entails. And Lord, that's our wisdom study, and I hope and pray that we're all getting something from it, that we get that true understanding that you gave to the Apostle Paul to bring to us, and that he, as we, should work toward that end to get all people to realize and understand the truth of the mystery of Christ in the finished work of Christ through our Lord and Savior. We thank you again for the opportunity to open the Word and to give it a go. And Lord, bless us as we do this hour. Thank you for all that you do for us all the time, that we don't ever want to forget to give you the praise and the honor for what we are and for what we have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're going to go back to Philippians 1. But I want to go back to verse 19 for just a minute. We covered this last study, but I want to expand on it a little bit, because I'm not sure that I did it in the way that maybe we fully understand what Paul is saying here. And we're headed toward the end of the first chapter of Philippians. And Ronnie and I have talked about this quite some. And we both feel like that probably Philippians was written first of these four books that were written there in AD 61-62. But the things in Philippians seems to come first, but yet, when we start, you know, the meat of what he's saying concerning the body of Christ was in Ephesians. But here in verse 19 of chapter 1, Paul is writing back to the Philippians now. Now, you got to remember that he's writing back to these people simply because they've given him a place to stay there, and the fact that he had a great understanding with these folks while he was with them for the time that he was there and spoke to them. And when this letter is sent back to them, then they're going to understand and know what's going on and what's happening, because he's going to send one of their own back to explain all this. But I want to look at verse 19 again in chapter 1. And it says, and I'll just read it out of the King James. It says, "For I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply." Now listen to this. "And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now Paul was going to receive a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And so now he understands quite clearly by getting this information that's written in these last seven books He already understands here where this was written first or second really is unimportant to us. But the fact is, in order to see and to realize this, he now has the understanding that what the Father didn't let the Son say when the Son was here on the earth for 3 years, now Paul's got that job. So that supply that was held back from Christ Jesus from the Father is now given to the Apostle Paul for us to understand and for them to understand. For these that came through the last part of Acts period, to understand that these that came through the Acts period, after Acts 10, that it was going to be that if we prayed and asked God to give Paul this strength, that would increase his understanding of the things that Christ was doing and did. And he would also realize that he didn't have any more say pretty much in what he understood concerning what was down the road ahead of us. And so he goes on to say, well, whether it be by life or death, you know, it wouldn't make any difference. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's where we stopped with our study last week. But the fact is that he now has, and I'll just read you the note in the Companion Bible. The Spirit, Romans 8:9 says this, it was this Spirit that enabled Paul to suffer no personal considerations to wait with him. He had or has the mind of Christ now. So the Apostle Paul has taken on this persona to finish what Christ didn't finish. And so now he understands the great load that was on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on Paul's shoulders now. And if he don't get it out to where it can be preached and taught by others, then that's going to dim Paul's salvation in terms of his work and his labor for Christ. So we're going to pick up verse 22 in today's study. But I just wanted to point that out to you. That the fact is that what was given to Christ through the Spirit was to be told on the earth, and what was given to Paul now was to finish that Christ didn't put forth, because Christ, the Father, would not let the Son tell that. It wasn't time that it be told. See, this went from 29 A.D. to 61 A.D. now, before this comes forth. So they had this time together down through those years, and Paul was in the shipwreck, and all these things happened during that time. And now Paul is in Rome. He's in his own hired house, and the Philippians are paying for it. And so he's grateful to those people for what they did for him, because he doesn't have to stay in a cell in a prison somewhere. But he's still got the chain. But we're going to go to verse 22. And we're going to look at what's said. Okay, we're going to do this like we've been doing. We'll look in the King James Version, and then we'll look at my notes, And then we'll look at what Jack brought down from the Koine Greek. We'll look at that, and then we'll look at this day and age English, and then we'll look at what Jack's notes were, because they're very, very important. Verse 22 says this. Well, we just talked about verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But, see, there's a but here. A but is a continuation. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not, I would not. So, he doesn't have a choice anymore. What he's been given to do is being instructed by the Father to bring forth this last part of that message that he is going to reveal before Christ comes back to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Okay? So he says this in 22, if I live in the flesh, if there is the subjective mood, and listen to this, it expresses a hypothetical but possible condition contingent upon circumstances which the future will show. He says, I live in the flesh. And in with Paul, he understood that this was his lot there. He said this, if I live in the flesh, this is gain to Christ, because I'm preaching and teaching Christ and what he did. This also is the fruits of his labor. This listed there. He says, this is the fruits of my labor. Yet, what I want or what I might choose is not mine. He says, I would not. That is done by the Father to finish the work of the Son. So we now see pretty much where that come from. So we pretty well see where that's at. Now, if you take that in the Koine Greek and break it down, it says, but to live in flesh this, for me, fruit of labor, and what I shall choose, not I know, because he wasn't going to choose anything. The Father was doing it for him. So Paul understands that from this time on, he's under the full understanding of the Father, just like Jesus Christ was under the full standing of the Father. So he now knows he is in a, what do they call it, a subjective mood. He has been subjected to the role, basically, of an under-son. Or someone that's taking the place of the Son in putting this out and putting it forth. Let's read. It says, but the living flesh is the fruit of my labor, and what I shall choose, I know not. A little different from the Koine Greek. And then Jack says, the results of Paul's labor in Philippi were seen by the believers. They knew how God had used him. Thus far, Paul did not know how God would lead him. He had not made it known unto him at the time of this writing. Of course, Paul is ready to do the Father's will in his strength. Surmising could have been manifold. No doubt, various ones of the assembly were asking him what were his intentions. And Paul was under no illusions. His life was in the hands of Christ the head. And he would make known to him his next move. But at this writing, the next move had not been made known to Paul. So you see how early it was in getting this message? He's sitting there. He don't know what his next move is. But he knows it's coming. Now, was it writing back to the Ephesians? Or was it writing the rest of Philippians? I'll let you decide that. That's what we're kind of what we're talking about here. But let's look at some of the notes that Jack left. He wanted us to look at Psalms 32 and Psalms 37. So turn back with me to Psalms. We'll look at Psalms 32 first. 32:8. 32:8. And it's on page 749 in the Companion Bible. If you have a Companion Bible. But 32:8 says this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Okay? And this was before the Holy Spirit was indwelling people. They was either with or upon. So, this is pretty much coming from Jehovah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you, Paul, with my eyes. That's what's being said here. Okay, let's turn to Psalms 37, which is just a page or two up. And Psalms 37, 23. Okay, he's going to be guided by the eyes of Christ. And this says in 37:23, page 754, in the CB, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So you see there's the direction that Paul is giving us there. And now let's go to Proverbs 22:19. And that's on page 894 if you have a Companion Bible. And it says that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. So you see, Paul now, it's been made known that he was to go the way they wanted him to go. He just didn't know where to go yet. Okay, then let's go back. Let's turn back to Romans. Look at Romans 1:13. Romans 1:13. Let's see if I can find it here. I've got so many bookmarks. But when I go to take one out, the next two or three verses will want you to go back to the same page and read something else. And this is the way Paul does things. He'll give you a little snippet of something that he knew at a certain point. And then he don't get any more of that much until he gets downloaded with everything that he needs to know. And then, you know, reading this, and you can go back and see where all this come from. This is kind of the reason we do these notes here. It's kind of like a conference deal. Romans 1:13. I'm sorry. Keep on blabbing. And he says this in Romans 1:13, which is on 1663 in the CB. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So, a lot of times Paul would want to go somewhere, and even back in the Acts period, he wasn't allowed to. You know, he said, I saw a man from Macedonia saying, come on over, but he didn't get to go over at that point in time. He was sent somewhere else. So that's what these notes are for, to give us this understanding of this verse of scripture. But we see that where he was going to go next really hasn't, or what was going to happen next hasn't been really made known unto Paul. So he's being guided by the eyes of God, whether it be the Son or the Father. Let's look at verse 23. In the King James Version. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Okay. Looking at my notes, I kind of looked at it this way. It was like a ship tied up to a pier. A ship tied up to a pier is not a very practical situation for a ship. A ship is to move from place to place, or to carry stuff from place to place. People, goods, or whatnot. And so Paul was kind of like this. He's saying, I'm in a strait. I'm in the middle of something here, but I don't know exactly what it is. So if we haven't read these verses before, then that would be kind of foolish to think that we could understand this if we hadn't read what goes on before a little bit. So betwixt is the little word ek. And we'll see that ek come up again in Philippians, because Paul was looking for, and that means out in the Greek. I know that much. I might not know much about Greek, but I know that much. Ek means out. And he was looking for an out resurrection now, like Christ had. He's thinking, boy, that would be a great thing. But it's not up to him. Now, don't forget that it's not up to him yet. An out resurrection, but he wants an out resurrection like Christ had an out resurrection. Christ was raised out from among the rest of the living and out from among the dead. He was raised back up and given life again for the people to see for 40 days. He'd been in the grave 3 days. 40 days, he was with them. So it was 43 days. 50 is Pentecost. That's the number of Pentecost. So it was seven more days, you know, if you go back to Acts 1 and 2, they were told to wait in Jerusalem until the Comforter come, which was going to be the interpreter too, which was going to be the indwelling spirit in mankind, which had not been very prevalent in all of God's work up until this time. But those that really, really had the feel for God and His Word, they were going to get the indwelling spirit. That's what it takes to get into the body of Christ. That's your and my ticket into the body of Christ. If you don't know whether you've been saved or not, you can forget getting into the body of Christ. You might get life through His name, but not to be part of the body. It doesn't work that way. So, I'm in a strait. I can't choose. I'm in the middle of something. I'm betwixt being ready to go or staying here, just like the ship is at the pier. The ship don't go till it's loaded down and ready to go somewhere. But the ship stays at the pier until. So this is Paul. He'd just soon get out and do something, but if that's not what God wants, that's okay. You understand that? Everybody gets that? Having a desire to depart, and he knew that if he ever got that chance to depart, that sometime his job would end, and that would allow him to be with Christ as being asleep, just like my wife is now, because Christ hadn't come back, because Christ's body is not full. But Paul's new body is waiting on him like my wife's new body is waiting on her. That's what Christ is doing now. That's the reason he's not speaking from heaven. That's the reason he's not involved with that until pleroma comes in his body, when his body is full. And his body is going to be made up of the heavenly beings that didn't come to the earth with Satan. God couldn't use them anymore. They've dismissed themselves from the world at that point, because they're going to be destroyed with Satan. But the heavenly beings that are still in the heavenly places are going to be in the entourage that when Christ appears in the east and we appear with him, those that's going to be in the body, and we will appear with him, then I don't know how long it'll be after he appears, but he will come with his body. And when he takes the throne of David there, then all the world is going to have him for 1,000 years. And part of our job will be whatever he wants us to do. That's here on the earth. That's the width and the breadth that's talked about in Ephesians. But the depth and the height will also come too, because when all this stuff on the earth is taken care of, then the body of Christ is going to take care of whatever God has left in the universe. Now, if you can tell me what's out there, I'd like to know. But I haven't met anybody yet that can do that. And so that's the height and the depth. We can't go to the lower parts of the ocean. Man can't do that. We ain't built nothing yet that can withstand that pressure. And we can't go to the outer limits of space because we ain't got enough air. But you see, when we get this spiritual body and we can travel at the speed of light, we won't need no air. Because that's the reason the body goes back. That's the reason your breath goes back, Christ, because it's given to you at birth and taken back at death. And along with that, the Holy Spirit takes whatever He needs to make you who you are in the spiritual realm. But we will be asleep until His body is full, and when He appears, He has the power to give everybody what they need at one time. Nothing undone. So He's going to rule and reign here on the earth for 1,000 years with those that didn't have Him for the 3 years when He did come. And the world will be subject to Him. It'll be one world power. And it will be Jesus Christ. Whether you like it or whether you don't. And if you don't like it, and you don't accept it, well then, you'll be in a lot of hurt at the end time, at that time. Because all things are going to be brought around. And when the day of God comes, and all the judgments are going to be made there, then there's going to be some people that thought they were going to walk down the streets of gold, probably not going to make it. But that's just the way it is. If you haven't been promised that, you're not going to get it. God's good on His promise. But He holds to His promise. It's yes and amen. It's not what you want it to be. It's what God says it's supposed to be. So here we are. So He says, I ministrate between the two. You got a desire to part. Do the work of Christ and then be with Him. An ek anastasia. And out resurrection. Because before that, He won't get it. But He says, when it does come to be with Christ, it's far better. It can be far better than anything else. See, we just can't, in our earthly minds, we just can't really fathom what it can be. But I'll tell you something about the Apostle Paul. If he's finishing the work of Christ, he may not be in the driver's seat, but he's certainly going to be next to it whenever we start going to maybe different realms or different places that God has that we don't know about. Because look what his position is here now at that time, at that place. Okay. Let's see what it says in the Greek. He says, I am pressed, but out of the two, pressed is kind of being betwixt. Kind of like you're putting a vice. I am pressed, but out of the two, the desire having unto to depart with Christ to be very for much better. That's the way it comes down in the Koine Greek. It says in the today's vernacular, but I am pressed out of the two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ for very much better. That's some better than what the word says in King James Version. Now, Jack's notes says this. Paul can conjecture and predispose if he wishes, but it's God's will who will make the disposition. And Paul understands this well, so there's no point for us to fret about this, because Jack says Paul understands this well, and this word of God is written for those who may be in the position of supposing choices which are not really their own to make. And Paul knows this, God's choice is always the best. Wow, I like that. Paul's choice, or Paul says God's choice is the best that can be made. Nothing can be better than that. Okay, let's look at the notes on 23. Okay, you got 2 Corinthians, about 3 or 4 places here. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4. Okay. And that's on page 1734 if you have a companion Bible. 17 and 18 of 4 says this. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So he says, in these moments that we have, it's light afflictions, but in the end, it's a great glory. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, we can't see these eternal things. As much as we'd like to try, we only can see the temporal things. We can only see what's here. We can only see the breadth and the width. We can't see the height and the depth. That's not for us right now. So that's... according to Paul, that's not a real problem. Okay, let's look at 5:1 for a minute. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, which is the body we live in now, we have a building of God and house. Or if you want to call it a body, you can call it a body. It's not made with hands. And is eternal in the heavens, because that's where it was created. And when we get it, we will be without spot or blemish. There won't be anything earthly to it. It will all be heavenly and it will all be pure. That's understood? Okay, let's look at verse 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Is there any problem understanding that? Because, you know, that's talked about a lot in church, but never in the right understanding. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is what really gets me. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body, which is to go through all this death, looking and expecting an out-resurrection, which will be ours, like Paul was looking for in that one that Christ got. Yep. And to be present with the Lord. When that takes place, we will then know Him as He is, and He will know us as we are. We will be part of His body, and He will be the head, and He will have us to understand and know that He is head, and what He commands is sure and truth, and there's no way that we can kick against the pricks, because Paul tried to do that on the Damascus Road. You remember. You've read it. We've all read it on the Damascus Road. Because that's what Christ asked Paul. Is it hard for thee to kick against the prick? Said, Paul, when I knock you down, you know you've been knocked down. There ain't no use to argue with Christ. So this is the same situation with 2 Corinthians 4:8. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. You only get that in resurrection. God does not deal with life again except if you have been raised from the dead or a change has been made while you're still living to your hope. Okay, let's look at verse 14 while we're here. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Yeah. Five fourteen. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, which is Christ, then we're all dead. Okay, so that should not be a problem. Okay, let's go back to Acts 7 for just a minute. Back to Acts 7. What time is it, Laura?
9:17.
Huh?
9:17.
Already?
Mm-hmm.
More time passes when you're having fun.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Acts 7:59. Okay, we all know kind of what this is. It's on page 1594. But it says this, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, this is Stephen saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Because Stephen known, he knew that he was saved. But he asked God just as he was dying, just as the big stone was about to come down on his head. He said, receive my spirit. So this was early on when the Holy Spirit indwelled them. And Stephen knew that he had been indwelling, so he knew that his spirit was going to be, whatever that is, was going to be carried there. Okay. And then we're going to look at 2 Timothy 4:6. Seems like we're just jumping all over the place. That's kind of the way it is. Second Timothy 4:6. I'll get there in a minute. Okay, that's on page 1813. But 4:6 is on 1814. Yeah, I put the marker on the wrong side. Paul says this. 2 Timothy 4:6. So we've gone from Paul not knowing what he was going to do next. When you get to 2 Timothy 4, this is the last chapter and verses that he was going to be able to pen. He says this, I am now ready to be offered. It's kind of like he's ready to be poured out. He said, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he knows his time's up. We've made it all the way over here to where he says this. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He done everything that God gave him to do. And I have kept the faith. Full stop. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So he's going to get a crown of righteousness, but guess what? We are too. As being part of the body of Christ. Isn't it great that we can say that? Well, let's turn back to Luke for just a minute. Jack had one more place he wanted us to look at. Luke 12:36. I don't know where my... thing slipped out there, but it did. I have to look it up. 12:36. Okay. I marked it out, but I didn't put a marker in my Bible. It's on page 1473. In the Companion Bible. And he says this, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet and will come forth and serve them. See, this is written for a past dispensation. Luke was written in a past dispensation before he knew that which Paul got this understanding of. So we go back to that. And so we finish verse 23. About 9:30?
9:23.
Well, let's stop there tonight. We'll stop there at verse 23. Boy, we didn't get very far, did we?
There's a lot there.
But you see how important it is to go back and look at these things to give us a true picture of what Paul has laid out for us. And to understand it. So if we don't get but two or three verses tonight, if we can say we kindly turned over a lot of the clods and kicked them loose, that maybe we've got somewhere in the understanding. But we went in Jack's notes, through the thing, and Jack says that whatever God chooses, that'll be right. Paul knows that. And so, whether Paul lives, how long he lives, what the length of his course is, he's not still sure yet where he's at right here now, but God knows, and it'll be okay. Because, he's gonna get that out of resurrection. Because I think when Christ comes back with his angels and with his saints, and he comes back down to the Mount of Olives, and that earthquake takes place, we will be there. And I think we'll see that golden dome on the rock down there. I think we'll see it getting smaller and smaller again, and it'll go under the ground. It'll be gone. Because that place is going to be cleared off, and this is where the people of the earth are going to come to and get to know their Savior. Because this is where David's throne is going to be set up. And you may not agree with me, and that's okay. But the fact is, I think the throne is going to be on the hill where they crucified him. That's where part of his blood hit the ground. The other part of the blood went to the mercy seat in the wings of the angels in the Holy of Holies in the heavens. And so, when the people are raised back up, they like Christ. When Christ come and he got to growing and to bigger, when he got 12 years old, he could remember what he and the Father did. And so he said, I'm about doing my Father's business. Although he couldn't really do anything much till he got to be 30 years old, because the Jews would look at mom and dad and say, you got to kill him because he's not saying the right thing. But the fact is that when he raises Israel up again, Israel is going to have him, and the promise is they're going to have him for the 1,000 years. Now, he's going to have to climatize the world. And you think about the Chinese and all these other people that don't even know God, don't have a clue. That's going to be a stark thing. Now, I'm going to tell you. And so, there's going to have to be a lot of work done, but all this land that's going to be leveled off there are going to be where they can come and listen. Now, I don't know what kind of a PA system they're going to have there, but it may be the Holy Spirit again. They may can hear in their own language if they have the Holy Spirit. If they don't have the Spirit, then they're going to have, maybe going to have to ask somebody what's going on. But think about that now. And so these people can come and get to know the God of the universe, whether they want to or not. And if they accept him, then they can have life through his name. And if they choose not to accept him, they can have the second death, which no hope for that. And so that's what this whole thing is coming down to, because God is going to deal with those that dealt harshly with the Jews. And you say, well, is he going to raise them up to do it? He may not. But if they have children, the children is going to pay the price. So these people that are over there now making decisions about Jerusalem and making decisions about Israel, and Trump's made a few, I wouldn't want to be Trump's children. Because if he's not living, they're going to pay the price for what is thought that they're doing God a favor. And think about that. And the Assyrians and all the ones that came up and give God's people grief. If they're not living, their progeny is. Think about that. See if I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. If you find it. Because that's the day of God. God's going to get everything straightened out. And he's going to take vengeance out. And if those that need to be, that were vengeful, are not living, and they have children that are not believers, that might be a great problem. Because God's word is yea and amen. And Paul knows that God knows. Bear with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this study this day, we'd ask, Lord, that you would bless the words that were put forth. And Lord, in the hope that we have him rightly divided, we read and understand and we know that the things that you've given to us now, we have greater understanding, especially by those like Jack and others that have spent years, not only days and weeks, but years, in helping us to see and understand these things. And Lord, that we might put them together in a way that we can understand and realize what our hope truly is. And our hope is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the desire to continue. Give us that love in our heart and in our mind that we need to get in and to dig, to see and understand what's been left for us to understand and how it's put forth that we might know it in heart and mind, and that we might be able to explain it to others that also needs to know it too. That's our job. That's what we're here to do. We realize that the body of Christ is not filled yet, so we've still got work to do. Thank you for your great glory. Thank you for your great love. And thank you most of all for the blood and the finished work of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They put all this into motion to give it to us, that we might share it with others. God and bless. Watch over us and give us direction, that the Lord's eyes may lead. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you so much, folks. Good to have you with us tonight. God bless you.